Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Pollen levels have been so high this year that hay fever has been triggered even in non-sufferers. Across Europe, a rise in grass, pollen release and transport across the continent, climate change as well as extreme levels of birch pollen means that even people without known allergies are developing symptoms. Well, I'm joined by Dr. David O'Connor, who's assistant professor in Dublin City University at the School of Chemical Sciences. Hello, David.
Hi, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. Are you surprised at these findings that even people who've never known allergies in the past have hay fever this summer?
I'm actually not kind of surprised by it at all. I mean, the one thing to know about hay fever is that actually basically anybody can have those symptoms. If the pollen levels get high enough, people who have never had suffered from them will actually start exhibiting symptoms. I mean, what people don't understand about kind of the pollen season is actually it starts actually in January and all the way to September. And what we've noticed in our work is that it's like getting longer. The start date has been pushed into December and the end date is actually heading towards October. Mm-hmm. Also, we see increased concentrations of the pollen as well. And actually, the amount of allergen in the pollen is also increasing. So that's a recipe for people who've never had hay fever to have hay fever.
Now, tell us about the monitoring that you're doing.
Well, one of the good things, it's all not doom and gloom here, okay, with the increasing amount of people with hay fever, is we're starting to monitor it. We're starting to use new real-time instrumentation, which basically looks at the pollen in real time, shoots it with a laser. We get the size and the shape of it, the fluorescence of it. That allows us to pick out which are the allergenic pollen and give a really highly accurate pollen count to people. That's fantastic because we can put it into our forecast. We can give that forecast to people to tell them, well, it's going to be a really high pollen day tomorrow. And they can put, you know, mitigations in place. They can take, you know, their antihistamine the night before. The nice thing about that is that, well, your antihistamine will still be in your body when their high pollen concentration is there and you shouldn't have those symptoms. You can also plan a lot more if you've got a really good forecast. You can, you know, wear a mask. One of the things about pollen is it's quite a large particle, so actually wearing masks can be a great way of actually not allowing it into your body. And, you know, you can also plan about what activities you do. You know, if you're a runner, if it's a really high pollen day and you know you suffer badly from hay fever, maybe don't go for a runner that day. Maybe the next day when the forecast tells it's going to be low could be a better day for you to go for your run.
And we have this great information now. I mean, prior to that, we were collecting it using something akin to sticky tapes. This is a great development. But how do we get this information?
Well, one of the nice things now is with my collaboration with MedAaron, is it's all available online on their website. You know, there's a daily forecast there, which will give you the forecast in a 3-day period. And that's always being updated. As we collect more and more information, it'll update. You know, just kind of like your weather forecast. You know, mm-hmm. If you know it's going to be raining tomorrow, you might bring a coat or an umbrella with you. If you know it's going to be a high pollen concentration day tomorrow, yeah, you can take your antihistamine or wear your mask.
And we have high levels of asthma here, and we know that there is a big overlap, isn't there? Most people who have asthma will experience problems with hay fever.
Yes, you know, we have the highest actually incidence in Europe of asthma, and the fourth highest in the world. You know, we have around 450,000 asthmatics, and that's why I work quite significantly with the asthma side here in Ireland. And, you know, that cohort of people is quite different than just the 30% of people who have suffered from hay fever here in Ireland. That cohort of people, you know, if they breathe in high concentrations of pollen, they can actually set off their and give them an asthma attack. And that's where it goes from a well-being problem to actually a life or death problem. So, you know, getting really good information to that people is really, really important.
David, thank you so much. That's Dr. David O'Connor. Dr. Yvonne Williams is with us as well, GP based in County Clare. Hello, Yvonne.
Good morning, Claire.
Thanks for being with us this morning. Are you seeing this reflected in the patients coming through your door this year, that we have people who always have hay fever experiencing worse symptoms, but also people who've never had it before now suffering?
Yeah, we absolutely are. And there's been a big change, a little bit last year, but definitely much more so this year. There's people I haven't seen in 10 years, or I've never seen them with their hay fever coming in saying that the normal medicines, the antihistamines they get over the counter, just aren't working for them this year and we're needing to step up their treatment. And people coming in not wondering, you know, why their head cold hasn't gotten better or why their throat is scratchy and sore for ages and they're waking up at night and it's going on much longer than a cold and wondering what's wrong with them. They've never had hay fever before. So we're definitely seeing it every day in the clinic.
And David mentioned there, you know, if you know the pollen count is going to be high tomorrow, that you could think about taking your antihistamine the night before. Do you agree with that advice?
Yeah, so generally for our patients that we know have hay fever, we like to start them on their antihistamine fairly regularly from the end of February, March, right through to the end of September, October. And just keep the levels dampened down for a lot of our patients with hay fever. They get symptoms most days or most weeks, so we just try and avoid it as much as possible. If it's milder, then absolutely you can just take it, you know, on a given day or the day before.
Mm-hmm. And what is the next step then if the antihistamines that you get over the counter, if they're not working?
Yeah, so I suppose we start with all the pollen avoidance measures, you know, the simple things, washing the pollen out of your hair at night, keeping the doors and windows closed. We're great in Ireland on a sunny day, open the doors, open the windows, dry the clothes outside. They're all the wrong things to do. On those nice sunny days, you're better off to actually tumble dry your clothes and keep the doors shut.
It's counterintuitive, isn't it?
Counterintuitive, yeah, and probably bad for the electricity bills. But simple things then, using, you know, a bit of Vaseline or the hay block around the nose, the wraparound sunglasses to keep it out of your eyes, things like that. And then moving on, I suppose you have antihistamines that make people sleepy, and you have to be careful if you're driving with those, you know, just take them at night and make sure you're alert in the morning, and the non-sleepy ones. And sometimes we use them in combination. And then we have sort of salt water rinses that you can use in your nose. So a saline rinse, just literally rinse the pollen back out. We have a couple of different types of eye drops, you know, anti-itch eye drops, eye drop rinses, eye drops that have a medicine in them to stop the eyes getting so itchy and red. And then we have various nose sprays. So we have like an antihistamine spray that goes straight into the nostrils that can work quite well, that you can use once or twice a day. We have steroid nose sprays if they don't work. And then we have combinations where you get both together. And if that doesn't work, then we have immune modulating or immune altering medication that you can use from quite a young age. Even in children, we use it for asthma, and we use it for bad hay fever that doesn't settle. And for people who have really troublesome symptoms that we can't control, there is tablets that you can take a course. Now it's over 3 or 5 years, but you can gradually desensitize yourself to the pollen over time and kind of cure yourself of your hay fever. But it can take a couple of years, and it is expensive.
Is there an injection you can use as well?
There was an injection that the NHS banned it quite a few years ago. It was a high-dose steroid injection that people used to get. And we would use that in kind of arthritis and, you know, other quite severe conditions. And it would just, I suppose it's a steroid, so it dampens down your whole immune system. So it will help your hay fever symptoms, but it has a lot of side effects, and it will lower your immune system. So it leaves you vulnerable to everything from COVID infections, and it can affect your mental health, your mood, your weight, your blood pressure. So we don't recommend that one-off injection anymore.
But I suppose it's important to say that if you are having awful hay fever symptoms, that you shouldn't really suffer through that, that you can get different treatments if the ones that you're using aren't working.
Absolutely. I mean, the first step is trying to avoid it as much as possible using the app. David and Meta, you know, have done great work, and the Asthma Society in Ireland have done great work. Your pharmacy will be a great point of contact. And then your GP, if you can't control it with over-the-counter medication, because it can affect your sleep. It can make you tired. That has implications. And for the asthmatics who have it, you know, having that drip of hay fever and the constant sniffle, it can trigger off, you know, quite bad flares of asthma and really make your asthma go out of control. So it's particularly important for them that we treat it and try and treat it proactively.
Yvonne, thank you. Dr. Yvonne Williams there, who's a GP based in County Clare.